Join us as we sit at the feet of King Solomon, one of the wisest men who lived on the earth, and man, did he have some family problems on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for joining us on this episode of Inverse. In this season, we've been looking at different components of families, and we're going to look at the book of Proverbs, one of my favorite books of the Bible, and written or compiled by or Solomon had something to do with the book of Solomon, this book of Proverbs. And but man, Solomon had some issues with family. He had a couple wives and
a couple hundred.
Anyway, we need prayer because we need prayer, and we've been praying before every episode. The Lord has blessed. Every episode has gone somewhere different the way we planned, but it's always a blessing nonetheless, and that's the power of staying in the Bible in verse. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. So, Sebastian, can you pray for us?
Yes. Father in heaven, we're just so thankful that if any man lacks wisdom, that he can ask of God, and that God is willing to give liberally. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do that just now, and that the sweet, sweet Spirit of Jesus may rest upon this study, guiding us into all truth, is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go to one of my favorite verses, and apparently Callie is one of Callie's favorite verses as well. She was saying, we need to read this verse. I really want to read this verse. So Proverbs...
That's exactly what wasn't that hysterical.
Anyway,
Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. 5 and 6. And Jonathan, can you read that for us in the New King James Version in English? Verse 5 and 6.
It says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths.
All right, so Callie, why is that your favorite verse? Why did you want to juice that out for us? Yeah, the vitamins out for
so
us.
So first, in verse 5, so trust in the Lord with all your heart. So it's telling how much and in what capacity in your life. It's not just trust God here and trust God there, but with all of your heart and completely. And at the same time, what you should not do is lean on your own understanding. Because again, sometimes we approach things with a divided heart. I trust God partially, or I'll trust God about these things, but also don't rely on your own understanding because it's not as stable as trusting in God. And then verse 6, in all your ways, again, completion and including everything, in all your ways acknowledge him, and what will happen is he shall direct your paths. So it's very... It's very specific, it's very practical, and it tells you exactly what you can expect God to do in return for these things.
Now, so far this season on families has been a blessing to me. We've been looking at a lot of different components. We have a lot of more components to go in this season, but there's something about families that if it's good, it's really good. But if it's bad,
It's really bad.
And so the Proverbs, a lot of the Proverbs have to do with family and relationships, and there's a lot of wisdom here. And, you know, Proverbs can be sometimes a very difficult book to read, you know. Sometimes it's like these fortune cookies that were just compiled together and just random, like, dear. What are some Proverbs that are dear to your hearts that talk about, well, let's start with the first nine chapters of Proverbs. It talks about women, and it kind of goes back and forth. Anything there that pops in your brains that you really hold dear to you?
Well, I think
when
you go to chapter five, and you first start in verse one, and Solomon is counseling his son.
Yes,
right, and that's one of the things I love about the book of Proverbs is a big part of it is my son, a parent giving wisdom to the child, and he says, "Pay attention to my wisdom, lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them." So I think in this sense, he shows his son the danger of casting his affections on an inappropriate individual, right? This is, you're loving the wrong person. You're giving your affections to the wrong person. And he lets him know that one of the goals of his wisdom in sharing in Proverbs is to protect him from these kind of abuses. And so I think you know, when we're dealing with families and the mess of family, a lot of times when we get into the mess, we can kind of think back to someone's advice or someone's input, a parent, a friend, you know, an older sibling that was like, don't do this or you should do this. And we don't follow it. And then we get ourselves into the mess. And it's kind of like this, you know, touchy feely, you know, tongue in cheek. Like, I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so, you know, at the same time. And so I think with Solomon, he's trying to essentially drive us home to the fact throughout the book of Proverbs that, listen, I love this because it lets you know if you just listen to the things that have been given to you, you're a person who is willing to actually hear and follow. You can protect yourself from so much unnecessary pain, so much unnecessary drama in your life just by listening, because so many times we think we're the exception. This will happen to Callie, but that won't happen to me. And I think as long as Solomon says, pay attention to my wisdom and lend your ear to my understanding.
Another aspect I appreciate about it is he doesn't mince words. Like, this is, it seems sweet.
Straight.
Seems sweet like honey, but this is actually what is actually sharper than a two-edged sword. And so it's not like, yeah, it might be kind of bad, so think about it. It's like, no, this is very terrible. And you know, it's like, that's like the best kind of advice, but it's the hardest to swallow because, like, man, don't be so abrasive on my senses and don't be so harsh. But it shows the desire that, in this case, you know, it has for his son to please avoid these things. I'm going to tell you directly how awful it is, so please avoid it at all costs. I know for me, you know, someone recently giving me advice, don't worry, it wasn't you, Sebastian, I'm talking about someone else. They're giving me advice.
I don't give you advice.
And it was just so straight, like, listen, if you want this relationship to be happy, do this. If you want it to be bad, do that. I'm like, what, like, why is it so black and white? Like, can't there be a gray area? And there are gray areas of life, but there are very black and white areas of life as well. And it, like, hurts us because, at least as a millennial, I don't like to be told what to do. And so even if it comes, anyways, even when it comes from a place of love, it's still just like, can I just figure it out the hard way? Like, can I just make my own way? Can I just figure it out? But it comes from a place of love. Because, like, my son, avoid this pain, avoid the suffering by doing this instead. And I think, one, we need to give advice in love, but also receive it in love. And don't, oh, they're trying to control me. But they're really trying to take away suffering and give you a better life if you just listen.
It is black and white. It hurts sometimes. The introduction to Proverbs starts from chapter 1 and ends about chapter at the end of chapter 9. And it's talking about these two women. It talks about wisdom. If you guys go to chapter 4, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her and she will preserve you. So she's a woman here. And wisdom is awesome. And it talks about, as Sebastian mentioned, that other woman. It can be taken literally. Like, there are some women that you just want to stay away from. And then, but also just in general, there's what they call folly or foolishness or just being dumb. Stupidity, you idiot, you know, like, and that's all of us. There's these temptations, black and white, to follow each way. And I did this when I was younger. I actually highlighted every time wisdom is mentioned, and then with another color, I'm a highlighter, I'm a colorer, and then a different color of folly, and it just goes back. Good woman, bad woman. Good woman, bad woman. And then it ends, and at chapter 10, then it says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon. Then you have the fortune cookie sayings after that. And so here you have, you know, it's talking about literal women, and you can, you know, we find a good spouse, but also yearn and thirst and desire wisdom. And we don't get that in our culture today.
No.
We're wanting, you know, this is the last thing we want. Because, like what Callie said, it hurts sometimes.
And I think there's something about wisdom in the way that Proverbs presents it that makes the world seem fixed. This is the reality. And a lot of times you want to think that, well, I can get around this. And when someone tells you straight, black and white, it's kind of like, well, that's just how it is. And that's hard to swallow.
But I appreciate that God does not hold back, though, because he has to cut through all the noise that is surrounding us. And so sometimes with, maybe there's a harsh word. I mean, the wisdom, you know, in the Proverbs, it talks a lot about disciplining your, you know, children if they're going in the wrong direction. God, discipline is good. He's discipling us. He's bringing us back to the straight and narrow, and he has to cut through that noise. So I appreciate when God is quite direct, and maybe sometimes even comes across as harsh, but I need it. I know I need it.
Well, let's go to one of those Proverbs that you mentioned. Let's go to chapter 10, verse 17. And this is in the fortune cookie section of Proverbs. Verse 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. You have this, you know, even that is now black and white. You have the idiot, right, and you have the nice guy. And you want to, we all want to be the good guy.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, but we'll go back. Callie and then John.
All right.
I was talking to some of my students recently, and they basically had a situation with a friend, and they didn't want to hurt their feelings, but they already were hurting their feelings. Anyways. So like, yeah, Ms. Williams, what should I do? And so I told them what to do. Go talk to the person. And like, you'd see like the pain on their face.
What?
Like, but like, can't I not? Can I just ignore it? I'm like, isn't that what you're doing right now? Yeah. How's it going? Not good. Therefore, what can we conclude? But we get this idea of like, there must be a third option. Like, I don't want to do what's wrong. I don't want to do what's right. So can there be like some like moral neutral? And it's like, you sometimes just have to bite the bullet and do it anyways. Right. But we just have this desire to avoid pain or avoid embarrassment or avoid awkwardness in some way, but to do what's right, you can't just hear it, the instruction, but you actually have to keep it.
But there's such a relief when you actually heed the instruction and you go through that maybe painful process. Once you're on the other side of that, you're like, wow, that was actually really amazing.
I'm alive.
This is the way of righteousness. I'm alive. I made it through, you know? And it kind of goes back to that first proverb we read that, you know, you acknowledge God in every aspect, in every moment of your life. That means that, I mean, who is God? God is everything. He is the source of all wisdom. He is wisdom, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He is all knowledge practiced in the perfect way. Mm-hmm. And so he is all of that to us. If we acknowledge him in that moment, in that situation that might be harsh or complicated, I don't want to go through it, as he leads us through the process, we will experience wisdom is the right way.
You know, it also reminds me, Justin, of another proverb in 23. Yeah, 13 and 14.
23, 13, and 14.
Mm-hmm. And the proverb, it says...
Do not withhold?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell.
Ta-da.
And again, right?
This is the problem that every child is like.
Yes. So it's one of those proverbs that I really appreciate this proverb, especially verse 13, because it speaks against this trend against correction, right? Mm-hmm. From parenting to children in your family. Like, we've all been in a grocery store and seen bad kids. I mean, it's like sometimes I walk through the store with my kids, and I remember I was with my son, and, you know, as we're getting into the line, you know, he's asking for different things. Like, oh, Papa, can I have this candy bar? No, son, we're not getting any candy. And he sees the kid in front of him asking his mom for candy, and the mom's like, no, we can't have candy. And the kid starts throwing the groceries outside of the basket, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And my son looks at me, and he's like, Papa, he needs to get a pow-pow. Like, he needs a pow-pow? Like, this is my 4-year-old son telling me. He's like, he needs to get a pow. Why? It's like, he's not listening to his mom. He's not being kind. Uh-huh. And so it's like, okay. And I'm looking at the fact that even a child recognizes, like, that behavior is out of line. Mm-hmm. And when you refuse to give correction or discipline to your child, the Bible says, listen, if you withhold this thing, you're actually sending them towards their death. You're leading them down the path of pain.
Okay, when we come back from after the break, we're going to see what Sebastian did about this powwow, pow-pow, whatever he called it, and look at how discipline needs to be measured with love in the book of Proverbs.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
You've been tracking with us. Sebastian was telling a story about how his son was commenting on other people's children and how they need pow-pows. This is his style of raising children. So, Sebastian, share with us from the principles of Proverbs how that applies.
So, Proverbs is letting us know that you should never withhold correction from your child. And it says you will deliver his soul from hell. Mm-hmm. There's no parent under the sun that wants their child to go to hell. Mm-hmm. No parent wants that. And therefore, he lets you know that counterintuitive to what society is saying, which is, hey, don't correct your children. This is kind of harsh. You know, discipline is too much. Don't put them in timeout. Don't tell them to face the wall. Mm-hmm. Go to your room. There's all this psychology going on. But to me, you can't get away from the wisdom of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. It trumps all of these elements of research and, you know, decades of things of people saying, well, no, you need to get away from this. When in reality, we've all seen it practically work out. People who don't discipline their kids, we see the results of that behavior and how that translates into society.
Now, we've got to make sure that these principles are always balanced and with Scripture. There's an abuse of Scripture sometimes, yeah?
Absolutely.
And we'll take this one verse and we're like, look, I have now license to beat my children until, whatever. And so your principle of opt for discipline and for correction and balance with other parts of Scripture, there is balance and love and affection and all that too. So Callie and then Jonathan.
Two aspects. One is, yes, the point is to discipline and to correct, not to let your anger out. Like, I'm so tired of this kid yelling at me, so I'm going to beat them now. Like, that's never
Proverbs has
do.
A lot of
stuff
about anger. Yes,
so the point of it. And also beyond that, being consistent. So Sebastian doesn't just discipline one of his children, but disciplines all four. Seven? How many do you have? So all four of his children.
Says the one with negative potential.
Zero.
We'll stop.
No shade. No shade.
You're trying to.
Yes.
Anyway.
I'm sorry. You know I love you. Mm-hmm. So be able to discipline all because kids notice inconsistency. And that's what your son was pointing out. Like, Papa, that's not okay, right? And you're like, it's not okay, but I'm my child.
Which we're finding the latest research for adolescents, that they find their brains are so sensitive with pattern recognition that they start seeing, and with social behavior and social patterns, that when their kids are just like, but when they get into their teen years, they start saying, dad treats me this way, but that person that way, but at church, dad's this way. Mm. There's inconsistency, and then there's blame and shame going on and hypocrisy. And whatnot.
And to your point, I don't have children right now, but I do have my high school students who I love like my children.
Amen.
And with them, I mean, any kind of deviation, like they got in trouble for this, but I did or they did, and they'll call you out on it.
Yes.
And you have to be consistent and loving that way. And even beyond that, in giving out discipline, there are so many times I've already noticed, and I'm kind of scared to have kids, is that even when you're doing something that's right and it's loving and it's biblical and it's best for them, they still might not like it and think that you're being mean. Mm-hmm. But going past that of, I love you more than I love your opinion of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you enough to do what's best for you, even if you misunderstand.
Yes.
Because that's how God interacts with us.
Right. Yes. Amen.
And you know, Proverbs 13, if we could read that.
Proverbs 13.
Yeah, verse 24.
13:24.
Mm-hmm. Proverbs 13:24. It says here, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of what you were saying. You know, God interacts with us in the same way. He's not going to just let us run in and jump off the cliff. He's going to warn us. He's going to warn us, hey, you know, don't do this. Don't go this direction.
Don't.
Yes. I mean, how many times in my life can I remember when my parents were like, you know, this is not the right path. You know it. You know, stay away from that. Mm. And sometimes we still go through with it, but then we learn our lesson and we recognize, hey, you know, they were right, and they do love me, and they do care about me. So, as you said, in the moment, me, the one being disciplined, might not realize that is actually an action of love, but afterwards, as we grow older and so on, we realize.
Yeah.
And so I'm just so appreciative that God is not just letting us do whatever we want. Nah, they're going to come around.
My dad used to tell my brother when he would come home with bad grades sometimes, and he would get disciplined, my dad would say, I'm not going to make it easy for you to fail. The reason why I'm disciplining you is I don't want to make it easy for you to flunk out of school and make nothing of your life. And then 10 years down the line, you're like, man, I never finished high school. I never, you know, got good grades. I never went to college. Because he's saying, you know, you have to recognize that I'm so committed to the success you will eventually desire for yourself that I can't make it easy for you to end up this way.
Yeah.
And I feel like God does the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, when he tells us, you know, that he's disciplining us out of love in the same sense, is because God doesn't want to make it easy for us to be lost. You know, and if you think about it, if it were not for pain or difficulties, some of us would never be saved.
Yeah. That's true. That's right.
Let's transition to some verses that I just think are one of the funniest Proverbs in...
Tell us, Justin, tell us.
In Proverbs.
All right.
Proverbs. Let's go to chapter 21, verse 9. Verse 9. And Jonathan, can you read that for us?
Yeah. It says here, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman.
That just is hilarious. Now, there are the genders have been specified as a woman, but we can easily switch that out with a contentious spouse, yes?
Sure.
But, I mean, you know, back then they had square houses and they were able to go up to the second floor and there's no one up there. They would dry stuff and they put all their extra goods in there. So it's basically, it's good to sit in the fetal position in the dark of your pantry than with a spouse that is just cantankerous, yeah? Now go to verse 20, 21:19, chapter 21, verse 19. And Sebastian, can you read that for us?
It says, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman.
Okay, so better to go out camping in the where there's no one around with the wild beasts and the poisonous snakes than living inside your home. Oh, and then go to chapter 27, verse 15 and 16. And Callie, can you read that for us?
27, 15, and 16.
Mm-hmm.
A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand.
So it's better to have, you know, water torture than to be married
to someone.
This is a modern contemporary translation.
Cool.
So, I mean, he's...
JKV. All right.
JKV. Now, it's partially funny, but partially, you know, our generation, the millennial generation, are the kids of parents, many who are divorced, who have had a lot of strife, may have blended families, just a lot, or maybe parents were still married, but, you know, there's just a lot of issues still going on because of whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And what counsel is Proverbs? What is Solomon, who had 1,000 wives, 700 somethings and 300 somethings? I always get those two mixed up, but he had 1,000 wives. You know, he's specialized in wifeology, or spiceology. What is Proverbs saying to us? What as a Christian can we take?
Well, I think it's giving us a warning. You know, people, sometimes what you think you can deal with in the beginning may become annoying and almost unbearable over time.
Like dripping of water.
You know, like the dripping of water. So it's just kind of like, man, you know, I think I can handle this. Like, this person does this and does that. That gets on my nerves, but it's okay. We're in love and it's going to work out.
Overlook
it's like
it.
5 years down the line of the person doing the same thing, you know, having the anger problems, being contentious, being irritable over the smallest thing, eventually that's going to rob all your joy and of your happiness. Mm-hmm. And I think Solomon is grappling with that reality, that true happiness in life really does come down to the small things. And something that may seem small in the beginning can literally overwhelm all the good things that come out of having this relationship, which is being married and all the joys. But it's just, man, this woman's contentious, or this man has an anger problem. And it just robs everything out of
it. I also like how this shows these issues are contained in the home, because sometimes people can look like they're fine, or married couples are like really, like they interact really well, they're respectful outside of the home, but then they get divorced. You're like, what happened? What's going on?
Right.
But it's because
these
of...
perfect families online.
But like, little do you know, he's hiding on the rooftop at night. Right. Like, you don't know.
Right.
And, but I think that also, again, what Sebastian says of fixing or focusing on these small things, but about having proper communication and not taking out frustrations, but talking through things. And it's these things that seem so small, like, again, like we love each other, we're going the same way career-wise, both want kids, and we both love each other, so it's cool.
Yeah.
But these small things can become these, like, torture, as he said.
Right.
Like, different, like water torture.
Water torture. Water torture.
Well, you know, but one approach to this, for me, that in my... you know, I've been married for a couple of years now, and some things I'm so experienced.
And,
congratulations!
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, some things, as you said, it comes out and you realize, hey, you know, this is something that I thought I can overlook, but then it's actually really getting on my nerves. Mm-hmm. But kind of turning the perspective and be like, hey, instead of getting upset and annoyed and showing that in my or let that affect my the way I interact with my spouse, let me pray. Let me pray for my spouse, and let me pray for myself. And so let's use this thing that's actually annoying to bless both my spouse and be blessed in the process. I think, I mean, that's something that Jesus will help us to do, because in the moment, you just want to be like, oh, you're really annoying.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you trust the Lord, and you're like, okay, Lord, just help me. Give me that patience. And vice versa, I mean, there are things that we do that really annoy our spouses. That's very real. And so I believe that when we walk with the Lord, He will totally help us in those moments to kind of choose the right thing and pray and, you know, focus on that.
These verses to me have also an implicit message.
Mm-hmm.
They are exaggerations.
Yes.
They are kind of humorous. And I think even in ancient times, they did cause people to chuckle
a little bit.
Under the
breath. Like, right? True.
Yeah. And I think anyone who's married knows that marriage does not produce happiness. Mm-hmm. You know, ask anyone who's married, they're not like, yes, we are happy. But it's being, I always say this, being holy. Mm-hmm. Is what causes happiness. Mm-hmm. And so we're learning. We talked about a couple episodes ago about marriage helps you to be more like Christ as a result.
Right.
But these verses, because they're funny, the implicit message is humor does a lot to lighten a relationship.
Yeah.
Humor can also be used to pervert a relationship, can be used in a sarcastic, critical, acidic way.
Yeah.
But there's also, We're all idiots to some degree, We're all the annoying, contentious woman or man, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But levity causes some smoothing over of a relationship.
Right.
So just a funny story from my parents that they do that a lot is they were very, very funny, and they went and heard a preacher recently, and he talked about how when Jesus calmed the storm, he told the storm to hush its fuss. And so my dad, sometimes my dad and my stepmom are kind of like getting onto those nerves, and like the one of them will say like, honey, hush your fuss. But they both start laughing. It's like, we're fighting over something that's dumb. We love each other. We're committed. Like, why are we letting this get to us?
Right.
It's just a very funny thing to just comment. But just hush your fuss.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
John?
Well, I just think that in a relationship, it is so beautiful to see when we can laugh together, and when we both realize, hey, we both don't have it all together. When we stop being self-righteous, and I compare you to myself, and you compare yourself, to, and so when we both compare ourselves to Jesus, we realize, we both are messed up, and we need His help. Yeah. So let's get through this together, and
on the same side.
Yeah, we're on the same side.
Correct.
And I think that's just when you have that kind of communication with your spouse, and you have that, that salt of humor in there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's salt, or maybe sugar. It's just something that really, really makes the process more enjoyable.
And that's the realities of, like Justin was saying, that's the realities of your relationship. You're going to have those moments where you're going to be like, man, it'd be better for me to be on the rooftop than to be with this woman. But the reality is you love them and you are with them and you are going to stick it out. And
I think that's the conclusion of Proverbs is Proverbs 31. This is the Mother's Day chapter. This is your spouse's happy birthday chapter. And although it talks about a wife, this really is the ideal spouse, who's diligent, who is affectionate, who's preparing, all of life for the children, kind of. And really, this is a shadow of who Jesus is. And with all the back and forth with all the spouses and all the water torture going on in the book of Proverbs, it ends on the character of Jesus.
Mm.
Hopefully you've been blessed by this episode of Inverse to be more like Jesus. That's our prayer. Hopefully that's yours. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week, next episode here in Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.